Today, the latest weapons, coupled with the fighting skill of the American soldier, stand ready, on the alert all over the world to defend this country, you, the American people, against aggression. This is The Big Picture, an official television report to the nation from the United States Army. Now, to show you part of The Big Picture, here is Sergeant Stuart Queen.
The film you are about to see was produced as a troop information film, specially prepared to alert the American soldier against a hidden enemy, an enemy that can destroy morale, rob the soldier of the will to fight, and even trick him into surrendering. Enemy propaganda. Although this study of communist deception was made for a military audience, we think that you, the American public, will also find it pertinent and enlightening.
Hello shortwave fans, and welcome to episode 6 of the UVB76 and Number Stations podcast. I'm Web Weasel, your host, and as always, joined by my comrades, Danix.
Hello.
Say hello, Danix. Say hello again, Danix.
I said hello.
Presented in 4D.
Hello.
Bowen.
What's up?
And Trojan.
Добрый вечер. Good evening.
No loss in this episode, I'm afraid. Okay. Coming up tonight, we have coverage of the activity of the buzzer, as always. Danix is going to tell us about Family Free of the Number Stations. Bone's got a theory about the buzzer. Got page updates and stuff we've been doing on Prion and coverage of other Number Stations. Updates on Lay's SDR. Commander Solo and the broadcasts of propaganda over Libya. And our Number Stations bit to get your QSL card as always. Okay, so starting as always, the buzzer. The station has been its usual, if slightly erratic, self, as always. We have more or less daily messages ranging from early morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, starting at the end of March, the 26th, 27th, when we had several early morning messages over period of about a week and a half, ending April 4th. Messages since then have been heard since 10 a.m. and 2:30 in the afternoon UTC, so have generally been around that time since the start of April. The buzzer have broadcast more or less 24/7 over the last month, but as usual has had a few oddities. On April the 7th, the buzzer started to break down, and we've had several breakdowns since then, breaking down 6 times in total on April 7th, and we'll play you the sound of the buzzer breaking down right now. Okay, guys, you've all heard that before. What do you reckon? Is the buzzer mechanical? Is it electronic? Judging on that wind down sound, what do you think?
I'm gonna probably go with mechanical in some ways now, as my original thought of it being digital is probably wrong from these very odd motor sounds, I suppose you could say, of slowing down.
Yeah, it sounds like a motor winding down as if it's lost power in some way, doesn't it?
On the other hand, it could also be disinformation.
I think it's mechanical. It should not weigh down if it's digital, unless it's a very bad system.
Yes, it's going down like maybe a tape recorder with device to make the pauses.
Tape recorder, every time we've heard it fail, it's failed in the same way. where it's wound down like that over several buzzes, and it's been consistently the same. I wouldn't expect a tape recorder, if it was having problems, to make consistently the same noise like that. But if a mechanical device had suddenly lost power, I could see it winding down and then running to find what the problem is, restoring power, and it being back to normal the way it has been before.
On the other hand though, with that, wouldn't that cause it to wind back up essentially rather than just start?
Well, then they've got the option of switching the transmit rod so it's not transmitting the buzzer, making sure it's working, and then clicking it back on when it's working.
Well, what we see is they don't turn off the transmitter. They probably just cut off the power to the buzzer. They fix it and then turn it back on, and it's fine. I mean, it could restore itself over the short period of between the buzzes.
Well, I suppose the general view is the buzzer is a mechanical device. From that sample we've all just heard, for the listeners, of course, and that we heard live or recorded, it very much sounds like a mechanical device. I've never heard an electronic device that's failed in such a way as to produce that kind of noise.
I mean, I'm not 100%, but would an oscillator be able to make that kind of noise again if it was failing?
There is the possibility that if it was an electronic system that had a series of capacitors buffering the power for some reason, that if power was suddenly cut off, it could make that winding down noise as the power dissipated out of the capacitors. Possibly. I mean, if you ever had a computer you've had running that's had LEDs on the motherboard and you've disconnected the power, it's taken a couple of seconds before the power's faded out of the motherboard because of the capacitor system that's smoothing out the 240-volt power supply we get in the UK into the 12-volt power supply the motherboard's looking for. So therefore, it has a buffered amount of power in those capacitors from the smoothing and the transforming down in the voltage, and the motherboard stays lit for a few seconds after unplugging the power. So I can see if had that kind of step-down transformer being used to power the buzzer and the power suddenly was cut, it would make that kind of noise as the power dissipated from the capacitors. Both it was electronic and a mechanical device. But, I don't know, it's difficult to make out, and it definitely sounds mechanical. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think you've got a very good point there. And thinking, I mean, I didn't really know much. I don't really know much about capacitors or electronics or anything, to be honest. But the way you explained it there, yeah, it could well be capacitors. By the sounds of it, a capacitor-run circuitry.
I agree.
Of course, I could be talking complete amount of rubbish. You never know.
Well, of course, man. I mean, that's the thing about UVB. None of this stuff really is possible to confirm until, I don't know, until they make it public, I guess.
Okay, so what's the general feel? Who says electronic and who says mechanical? I'm going with my vote on mechanical for this.
I say electronic.
Mechanical.
Danix?
I don't know.
Okay. Trojan, what's your vote?
I think it's mechanical.
Okay. Sad face.
Looks like we're going with mechanical, but who knows? For now, we'll say a mechanical buzzer. Okay. Over a couple of days, going from the 7th to April the 9th, the buzzer had several failures, probably totaling about 20 over that period. But from April the 9th, it's worked absolutely fine. It's been particularly notable from our listeners in Russia that the buzzer has been heard on its harmonic of 9250 kHz, which of course 9250 is twice 4625 and therefore is a harmonic frequency, and it's continually been heard on its parasitic frequencies we've mentioned in previous podcasts. It's also been noted that both on the parasitic frequencies we've mentioned and on the harmonic frequency we've mentioned, that when messages are broadcast, it's possible to hear the audio of the messages on those harmonics as well. So therefore we can confirm that they're either coming from the same source, or the source that is being broadcast through the harmonics and the parasitics are also being sent from the same source as the buzzer. The other interesting thing is the double buzzer has been heard as well, and there's several examples of the buzzer switching from loud to quiet, as we'll play now. Okay, having heard that, you can hear the buzzer suddenly goes from a loud sound to a quiet sound right at the start of the buzz, and there's a very distinctive drop at a point, yet the buzzer is still audible. Now, this gives us two possibilities. Either we have two buzzers being broadcast from two separate transmitters, so we have a loud one that's more close to us and a distant one that is further away from us, but both broadcast in phase, we hear them at the same time with no distinction between the two. So when the loud buzzer is broadcast, we don't hear the quiet one because the loud one drowns it out. And it's only when the loud one is off do we hear the quiet one. Or there's a possibility that the one source of the buzzer, and it has a loud mode and a quiet mode, as mentioned in articles like the Enigma 2000 newsletter saying the buzzer is entered the quiet stage during the mornings, also noted in the Kinect project.
Or could it be propagation?
It's possible, but from that sudden step down, it couldn't possibly be propagation. I think from all of our experiences from propagation, where it suddenly goes from very loud to very quiet in the middle of a buzz like that, like it's been flicked by a switch, you couldn't possibly account that to propagation.
I mean, I've seen happenings where propagation has dramatically changed things. When I'm checking propagation with something like WWV, I've heard it go from absolutely nothing to over 20, or 9 over 20, or other way around, excuse me, 20 over 9 in less than a second. Considering how sporadic propagation is, you never know.
Okay, with radio propagation, I'm not prepared to argue it because it's an amazing thing that I only barely begin to understand. So yeah, it could be propagation. It's entirely possible. Either way, we're hearing the double buzzer every now and then. Sometimes it's in phase with the buzzer, sometimes it's out of phase.
My personal theory on that is that I think it's broadcast from two separate locations, because that would somewhat explain some of the erratic bearings of the station found using the loop antennas. Admittedly, like 1 degree over that many miles is a hell of a lot of miles, but that would also explain a major difference in it, because some of them are just nowhere near each other.
Yeah, you've got to admit there's a large degree of error when trying to read from a compass and a magnetic loop antenna as well.
Oh, yes.
And we discussed with one of the guys who popped on IRC, his name escapes me at this moment, about actually measuring the degree of error due to magnetic north from where you are on the Earth and accounting for that when you take your bearing. Because, of course, true north and magnetic north are not in the same place. And if you're looking at a map and taking your bearing, you'll measure to true north while measuring to magnetic north, get confused and probably take an incorrect bearing, which may account for some of the error we've seen on the map already. However, if there were two transmitters, that would also account for some of the error as well. So it gets doubly confusing, considering it's very difficult to know the accuracy of some of the anomalous submissions we've had over the triangulation map.
Basically, there is just too many variables.
Yeah, for it to be a very accurate reading at all, so we have to look at a huge margin of error.
Yeah, so I think pretty much the only way we're going to get around that is to take a road trip to Russia.
Phone sounds, phone tones, voice leakages, odd beeps have been heard on April 7th. April the 19th and April the 29th, and it seems there is an open mic or a phone that's leaking into the buzzer somewhere. We'll play you an example of that now.
Mm-hmm.
Other oddities. April the 4th, we had very poor reception of the buzzer. 4 messages were heard, 2 were confirmed, but there were possibly 7 in total. But reception was so poor due to the loud transmission being off, the quiet transmission only being available, that we could only confirm that the buzzer was off and not that any voice was being transmitted for several of the early morning messages. There was a mistake in the final message, the 7th, if there were 7 of that day, that the first reading was G-L-A-K-A and the second reading was G-L-A-D-A. It's the distinction being Dimitri in the second reading. Interesting that that wasn't corrected at all. But yes, UVB has said several mistakes, including just yesterday, but we'll get to that in a bit. Okay, April 7th is a busy day. We have 12 messages in total. The third message is only broadcast once with no repeat, and we'll play that for you now. And the fifth message for this day is a rare free word message, which we will also play for you now. Okay, after April the 7th, which is our really busy day with 12 messages, we have nothing until April the 10th, so a couple of quiet days. Then we get a surprise.
Женя, Борис. Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис. 13-945. Иван, Константин, Ольга, Николай, Ольга, Михаил, Елена, Татьяна, Роман. 12-26-00-05. Иван, Константин, Ольга, Николай, Николай, Юрий, краткий. 96-96-38-79. Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис. Михаил, Дмитрий, Женя, Борис. 13-945. Иван, Константин, Ольга, Николай, Ольга, Михаил, Елена, Татьяна, Роман. 12-26-00-05. Иван, Константин, Ольга, Николай, Николай, Иры, краткий. 96-96-38-79.
Okay, we get a repeat of the rather iconic word that people have noticed, which is iconometer. And if you notice in the recording, the buzzer was activated for three buzzes, as if the next message was not expected. Normally, of course, if there's a double message, they won't turn the buzzer back on, but in this particular one they did. Now, there's been a couple of messages recently that sound rather hurried and last minute, either the buzzer suddenly switching off and the message coming very quickly, or the buzzer coming off, there being a very long pause, a message starting, then stopping, and then starting again, as if the reading was unsure if it should be one message or another from what he was given. Of course, there are always the mistake of yesterday, where Dimitri started reading a message, got it right the first time, forgot the call sign on the second reading and started from the numbers, got shouted at by someone in the background, and then had to read it a third time, but this time with the call sign, which we'll play for you now.
Восемь.
Buzz.
Did you just say 14362? Earlier?
Yeah. On
14362.
Oh,
yeah, that's XPH.
Well, there you go. We got XPH while we were recording the podcast. How good's that?
Good catch, Webby.
Hey, it was 4D that shouted it, man. Okay, moving on. Duplicate messages. I've taken the time to actually update the duplicate message table because even though the work on the Prion database is underway and it has progressed massively, we need to upgrade the website in order to accept Prion, Python's 2.8 so we can get everything working with the database. Phone patch 4D, what are you talking about? Tell us.
Backtracking, talking about phone sounds behind the buzzer.
Oh yeah, go for it, tell us, man.
Yes, I've been assuming that this is a phone patch. These are typically done by maritime, military, aero, that type of stuff. They're just, you call a number and they connect you to high frequency for communication. It's, you will hear the rings and the random beeps and stuff you hear when you're on a phone. So that's just my little theory for what we've been hearing. Since we've been hearing it over HF, he's been hearing the actual messages played, then relayed over louder. So I don't think that you can hear a phone too well over a microphone like that, unless it's actually being relayed over.
That does remind me. There was also a message yesterday. Not only did Dimitri be forced to reread a message, but message later was very difficult to distinguish because a phone conversation broadcasting either another message or the same one was heard broadcast in the background at the same time as if the guy reading the message over UVP's microphone was in the same room as someone else reading it over the phone, which we'll play for you now.
That has to be a phone patch relayed by another
10 minutes you're lying. Fuck, it was about 3.
Time passes slow when you're drunk.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking that dual transmitter theory is probably right, because that's not coming out of the main transmitter that we're hearing.
Yeah, it's particularly odd. Okay, so we have a transmission where we hear two messages, and it's difficult to hear the start of the broadcast of the second one because it's drowned out by Dimitri being much louder, so we can't discern whether the call sign being broadcast is MD Xenia B. Xenia was safe enough. No one will shout at me that way.
MD Xenia B, not MD Xenia B.
MD
Jebe.
MD Jebe.
MD Jebe.
M-dash-a-pet.
Well done!
Well done.
Yay! Right. Either way, we couldn't hear the call sign of the message that's being broadcast in the background, which sounds, due to the stark tone, like some sort of phone conversation. But either way, we can hear the letter system being used that we hear for messages broadcast from UBB76. So we can assume that it's either broadcast from the second transmitter or it's leakage that's mixed in from the original source and being broadcast from the first transmitter. 4D reckons from the second transmitter. What do you guys think? Is it from second, from that particular recording, is it from second transmitter or is it from the original source and being bled in somehow?
Second transmitter. Won't patch over second transmitter.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Because my stupid internet crashed.
Okay. Back to message duplicates, because we got very sidetracked there. That's where we were. I was saying the message duplicates table has been updated on Preom for the S28 page. So go and have a look on preom.org, PRIYOM.org. Go to number stations in the navbar, Slavic S28. That's where you'll find UVP76 or MDZH.
Yeah.
I almost said ZH. I had to stop myself. That on there you'll find Lade Stream and the Waterfall, and if you scroll down you'll see page up histories and 2011 updates. Click on that and you have all the messages and recordings we managed to catch for this year. Now, from what we've managed to find, there are 28 duplicated words and these are linked into 17 groups. So what we have is either a message repeated or a word repeated in a message and then another message repeated with that word, linking messages into chains or groups where one message is linked to another message by a third message. So for example, on February the 21st 2011 we have Lishavost, and then we also have Akshuzeshik, AQUSHERSKIJ. On February the 24th, we have Skutozova, SKUTOZAVR. And then on April the 7th, we have all three in one message. We have 03144 Akshuzeshik, AQUSHERSKIJ, Skutuzova, SKU2OZAVR, and Lishovost, LISOHVOST.
Lisachvost, Akushirsky, Skutazava.
Thank you very much. So, that's more or less it for the buzzer this month. Now on to all the interesting stuff that we've been doing apart from the buzzer. Danix would like to tell us about the group of number stations called Family Free. Danix, would you like to tell us about that?
Family Free is a family of number stations supposedly coming from Poland and being operated by Polish intelligence. It consists of E11A oblique in English, E11 if null message, G11 in German, Strich, but that's not right pronunciation, S11A in Russian, Chirta, and M03 in Morse code. Formerly, there were S11 in Polish, Kreska, and not well related, G10 playing Bertkampfert's music as intro, and S26, also in Polish, which used song Cyt Cyt by folk group Mazowsze. Currently broadcasting stations, except most variant of course, are using nearly same voice and Polish accent. Beginning of each transmission consists of three figure ID and group count separated by slash. Word for the slash in each language is each station's name. Then follows attention and message as five figure group pairs. Then after them, attention follows again, but this time each group is repeated once. Ending varies. For E11A it's out, originally end. For G11 ende. For S11 kaniec, originally finit. And for M03 zeros. If station is broadcasting no message, group count is 00. Earliest E11 transmissions were live, and G11s were using different voice, replaced in around 1995 by current. Also, G11 was not broadcasting between 1998 and 2087. There are also additional variants E11B and S11B. They are E11A and S11A. Only difference is use of 77777777 as first and last two groups. The group count is usually around 35. Now let's listen to some samples. This is E11 Nolink. The G11's historical voice. And current.
Synef 4 3 0 0 7 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 Synef 4 3 0 0
S11A Cirta. This is no longer active. S11 Kresk.
Thank you very much, Danix. Okay, next we have Bowen's theory about UVP. Bowen, take us away.
You're right, guys. Yeah, basically my theory consists of not what the messages mean as such, more the reason for the buzzing sound itself. First note, I'm not saying that this was always the reason for the buzz. In fact, the buzzer changing sound in recent years actually correlates up with the changing of technology, making my theory possible, if that makes sense. My theory states that the buzzer is used to aid a computer-triggered recording. In my opinion, the buzz is there, so it constantly breaks an audio gate. And when this gate stops being broken for a predefined time, 2 to 3 seconds, for instance, the computer will begin recording. Evidence. There are many things that I believe prove my theory. One is the pause between the buzzer stopping and the message. Of course, this doesn't always happen, but in general it does. This is most likely a protocol carried out by the operator to make sure that the computer has begun recording. I also believe that an automated system signals the operator that the computer is recording. This could be as simple as email or contact via a hard line or something like telegraph or automated radio transmission on a predefined frequency. This may also explain the stoppages without messages. The buzzer stopped, but there was no response from the recording due to a technical fault. Change the page. Another piece of evidence is that the voice always seems to be quieter than the buzzer itself. This may be to make sure that the gate is not broken, therefore the recording is not stopped. Other reasons I find... another reason I find this odd is that the buzzer and voice are being broadcast from the same place, a subject under much debate, of course, but and therefore broadcasting with the same power. Why is the voice quieter? I believe that the voice is actually being limited to a volume below that of the gate threshold, e.g. the gate threshold being 30 decibels, the buzzer being 35 decibels, and the voice being limited to 25 decibels. In conclusion to that, some may state that my theory is impossible due to the buzzer being unstable, but these people must realise that it is now believed that the messages are being broadcast internally or at most in neighbouring countries where the buzzer is stable pretty much 24/7. In general, it's accepted that S-28 is a military station, and I can't see the government, Russian government paying for a team of people to sit there and monitor the buzzer 24/7 when it would be easier and more efficient to computerise the whole process. That was my theory, if not a bit rushed. Back to you, Mr. Webby.
Citation needed. Just one thing I just want to point out, that always voices will be weaker than tones, because tones travel through radio waves much better. If you've ever listened to Morse code, it's always louder than everything else.
That's just how radio works.
But it's always going to be quieter,
it's not hard evidence or anything. That's just a bit of speculation put in there. But it was just another bit of evidence I thought that might be a help back it up.
It's a way a system could work. You could have designed a system to work in exactly that method for a local transmission where the signal strength would be more or less consistent, barring the skip zone, of course. It's entirely possible it could work that way. There's a good couple of reasons why you wouldn't do it, but who knows, man? I mean, any explanation for why the buzzer buzzes 24/7? Be open-minded about it.
Admittedly, I did write that whilst somewhat drunk, so...
Somewhat.
Okay. That's Bowen's theory about UVB. Moving on, we have the updates we've done to the Preom site. We've worked on the style sheets. You should be able to view Preom in IE 6, 7 and 8. I haven't checked 9.
Well, institutions, organizations such as schools that are too ghetto to get Firefox, like my school.
But if you do insist on using Microsoft's browser, you should be able to view the site now, whereas before it was all over the shop and looked awful. It doesn't look as good as it does on Opera or on Firefox, the best browsers that are out there, but IE now works, so if you want to use it, you can.
But really don't.
Okay, there's been updates on the site by various people. I think Danix and Trojan are responsible for the utility stations and the ham maps pages and the solar data updates that are on there. Climatics has written a view for the Deegan radio, which is worth a look. It's a nice piece of writing.
I've made a review for the Satellite 750.
As always, we're working hard in the background to keep everything up to date as we can, so there's been updates to several of the number station pages that we'll get to as we list our number station findings in a minute, so have a look at those pages. A lot of them have been reordered, and Danix has started working on reordering some of the messages in a more consistent format across the site, which is really great. Hopefully over the next week or so I'll be upgrading the site to the next version of the CMS so we can get IronPython working. Once we're there, we'll then be able to implement our MySQL database with IronPython, which will make some of the scripting a lot easier to work with the CMS, and we'll be able to introduce a lot of the analysis tools we want onto the site. So exciting stuff coming up as long as we get to it and keep working at it. Right, other stuff we've heard. We'd like to thank Avar for listening in Russia for us. and keeping an eye on the Pip and Squeaky Wheel, because he's managed to hear two Pip messages so far, which we'll play both for you now. The first one was from April the 14th and was at 12:55 UTC, and the second was April the 20th and was at 14:30 UTC. And looking from the start of the messages, it's consistently broadcasting the call sign 8S1SHCH, or SH, as Danix would insist.
Shush.
Cha.
Okay, we've also heard quite a few others. I've picked up with Danix on Global Tuners. We had a listen to VC01, the Chinese robot, heard on the Hong Kong receiver. That one's quite amazing. You have to hear it. It speaks 3 numbers per second. Listen to this. Blah 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 blah. We'd like to thank the guys on One Club on StarNet for picking up StarChat. Thank you, Danix. This typo in the script there. Yes, we'd like to thank the One Club guys on StarChat. That's WUNCLUB. Check out that channel on IRC for utility stations and other stuff going on shortwaves. They managed to pick up a number station that had EO6's voice but ended EO7 style. Now EO6 normally ends with 5 zeros, but EO7 ended in 2 groups of 3 zeros, which is how this particular number station broadcast ended. So we had the EO6 voice, but the EO7 ending. We didn't catch the start of the message, which is unfortunate, but do have a listen for it on 10332 upper sideband. We heard it at 6 o'clock UTC PM, so 1800, on the 19th of April this year. Check it out, have a listen, see if you can catch it. If you do, drop us a line and send us a recording. EO6 has been on rather late for me, as usual. 1:30 in the morning, my time. I can't always make it. I have a busy life, I can't stay up that late. But a couple of other rows have caught it over the last couple of weeks. Guys, who's managed to pick up EO6 on the 1:30 schedule?
Me.
Right, in the script annex, you picked up G11 on the 9th and heard a null message. And on the 12th, you heard this one from G11.
Yes, I've heard. This was so strange message because 18th and the 28th groups were so similar when 19th and 29th were same.
Yeah, I remember you remarking at the time, that looking at the number of groups used, there were several similarities of the groups which do make you wonder about the key code used, because it's unusual for any cryptography technique to come up similar groups of numbers if it's done efficiently and properly.
The same has been going where the stations like V2A lately. I've been hearing very odd groups such as 99998 and 12345 groups. Although they fail at their crypto, so that's nothing unordinary.
Okay, I've got the two unidentified ones in the script. Danix, you know which ones they are. The SO6 and the EO7, who were they?
I've got EO7.
Okay, so you picked up EO7 on 10703 AM on the 10th of April at 17:20 UTC. And SO6 was Bowens, if I remember right. He picked up SO6 on the 5th of April on 5760 at 7 o'clock in the morning UTC.
Man, 7 o'clock in the morning, I doubt that was me.
Well, I had that's not my recording, but I had SO6, some SO6B, I believe it is, at probably 10 UTC. Just the very end of it, on a very high frequency in the morning.
Rather S0 6C.
Ah, alright.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I have that as well.
Which, this one's very strange. It ends in... It doesn't end, actually. It goes 1-1 miscellaneous. Three numbers here, and it's over.
So
it was a very odd station.
SO6S is this recording, then?
Yeah, FSBs. We'll just say it's FSBs.
Yeah, that doesn't really matter.
On the 5th of April, someone recorded it and uploaded it to the website, so it was one of us. Okay. Any other catches this month you guys want to mention? Danix, anything any number stations you've caught you want to talk about?
Yeah, they're not.
Okay. Other catches you guys want to mention?
XPA and related stations have been coming over the border quite often over here. I've got a feeling that they might be directed toward the United States, especially the ones in the morning. Those always come in extremely loud here. I just am much too lazy to actually hug them. As well, V2A's been having its normal transmission errors because it sucks. I hate that station.
Okay, well, that's our number station findings for this month. Moving on. Leeds SDR is up and running. Go and check out the updates on uvb76.blogspot.com and have a look at his SDR project. What he's managed to make is a two-channel SDR, so you can listen to two different stations at the same time, tuned anywhere from 0 to 30 MHz. So, once he gets his project up and running and it is made available for purchase...
Hey, Webby! You've made a mistake! said uvb76.blogspot.com, but it's actually uvb-76.blogspot.com.
There you go.
uvb-76.net.
And .com.
Okay.
You may.
Either way, he's made... Blade has made a two-channel SDR. Most SDRs that we're used to using, such as the SDR IQ or the SoftRock devices, are single-channel SDRs and can only listen to one station at a time or be used by one user at a time. The one that Blade has managed to make is available two channels, and therefore you can listen to two channels, two separate stations, or two separate users can tune to one station to their desire without worrying about the other user. So, an impressive little device. Go and check out the updates on his website. Okay, 4D, do you want to tell us about Commander Solo and the broadcasts over Libya?
Sure. Now, we all know the Odyssey Dawn is weird. We don't know exactly what's going on over there. But recently, just starting actually the second day of the mission, there have been quite odd transmissions we've been receiving. These are part of the United States, what are they called? Psy-ops, I don't know. I guess you could say.
Psy-ops,
yes. The Psy-ops, they've been started since World War I. This specifically is from the plane called Commander Solo. It is a modified EC... Or no, it is called an EC-130E, but it is a modified C-130. They've been playing probably every week since Odyssey Dawn. There was actually just one yesterday since the recording, being played in just Arabic. And that was just playing music, oddly enough. Music, a woman's voice and a man's voice. They've been in English and French and Arabic, miscellaneous languages that would be spoken by the people of Libya. And they've been saying, I'm sure you've heard a coming up recording of a saying, stay in your home, stay with your family. It was typically directed toward the mariners and the people who worked in the shipping industries of Libya and just prevent people from helping Gaddafi, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been the way of war since about World War I to use propaganda on enemy troops and enemy civilians, be it dropping leaflets from airplanes in order to spread propaganda over an enemy population, or broadcast on shortwave. It's particularly common. Whether it's useful and whether it works is a much debated topic, but here is a sample of what is being played by America from its Commander Solo plane over Libya.
Regime forces are violating a United Nations resolution ordering the end of hostilities in your country. Do not take part in further hostilities. Refuse any order to harm your fellow countrymen or Libyan facilities. Return to your homes and families.
عائلاتكم تحتاجكم. عودوا إلى بيوتكم بأمان. ضعوا أسلحتكم وارفضوا أوامر نظام القذافي.
This is just a single example, since there have been so many. Each one's different than the last.
Okay, any opinions on that?
Gotta do what you gotta do. It's a war.
True.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have Commander Solo.
Poetic poem. Well, it's war. We hear it over the radios. It's interesting to get a perspective that you wouldn't hear on the news. So, there you go. That's the real world. That's how it sounds. If you're listening, you're more aware.
The more you know, the more you grow. G.I. Joe.
Okay, that's the podcast, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the live listeners for listening. Thanks to the IRC for being there. Hope to see you in a month's time when we record episode 7. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
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 wanna make sweet love to me. I don't know why. It's 36 years just to know how to reach over. Turn on the radio to hear some punk rock. To be what they call all the way alive. So I drove out to the park way out on Interstate 405. I got kind of serious as she slid through the door. And then I kind of put my arm around her. Baby, don't do that no more. And then one of my knees kind of hit on the floor. She reached over, turned on the radio.